Once again, we get to talk to some of the great people over at Sanford Health today, and they are, I think, fairly excited about being able to move forward with some of the types of things they haven't been doing for the last month to month and a half. We have Susan Jarvis. She is the president and CEO of Sanford Health of Northern Minnesota. Brad Nice, Director of Operations, particularly on the surgical side. And we have Dr. Mark Claussen. He is the Chief of Surgery Service Line and a general surgeon at Sanford. Welcome to you all. Thanks for stopping in today.
Thanks for having us, Kevin.
Thank you. Good to talk to you, Kev.
Well, I guess you didn't stop in, but virtually stopped in. Let's put it that way. Well, let's start with you, Susan. It's been a month and a half when you've had to stop the elective surgery. What has that meant for Sanford of Northern Minnesota?
So you're right, Kevin. On March 23rd, the governor signed an executive order, actually signed it a little bit before that, saying as of March 23rd, hospitals in the state of Minnesota were ordered to stop doing elective procedures. For several different reasons. You know, the pandemic was just heating up here in Minnesota. Everyone in the state was worried about PPE and ventilators and beds and that type of thing that we would need for the pandemic. And so it was felt that it was really important for us to take some time to get the healthcare system ready for the pandemic. And so we have really utilized that time and are grateful for the time that we've had to be able to plan. We've been able to expand bed capacity. We've been able to procure PPE. We've been able to get the ventilators that we need. And we really feel like we're ready to handle the pandemic now as it occurs in our community. Interestingly, we still have not had any positive inpatient COVID-19 patients in Bemidji. And so while we've been, preparing quickly, we have not had to actually put into action yet some of those things that we prepared. So we really don't believe community spread is here yet in the northern part of the state because we've tested a lot of people. We have tested symptomatic people. We've done some antibody testing now, and we're just not seeing it just yet. We do believe it's still coming. So we are prepared, but we are very excited that we're going to be able to resume elective surgery starting on Monday and procedures because there are a lot of our patients out there that really need to get some things done. We need to be screening people for colon cancer. We need to be screening people for breast cancer. We need to be taking care of people who are having difficulties with their joints, that are in pain. And we have a lot of people that that need those procedures that we've had stopped for the past several weeks. So we've had about 700 surgeries that we would have normally done over the last 7 to 8 weeks that we just have not been able to do. And so we have a lot of patients, again, that, you know, we have stories of patients who need their knees replaced, and they're now really not able to walk because the pain has gotten so bad in their joints and things like that. So we are really, really happy that we're going to be able to help those patients now.
You know, Mark, I think one thing worth noting is elective surgery comes with the connotation of, plastic surgery, things like that. There's a lot of elective surgery that is actually quite important, may not be life-threatening, you have to do it now, but it's important and it needs to get done.
You couldn't have said it better. Because it's elective doesn't mean it's not necessary. It just means that it's not an emergency and doesn't have to be done right that minute. But the elective procedures are all still very, very important. And if you let it go too long, well, then it starts to harm the patient. And so it's just like coming in for your regular visits if you have diabetes and high blood pressure and heart disease. It may not be an emergency that day, but you need to keep on top of those things. And it's the same thing with colonoscopies and joint replacements and hernia repairs and people who are having symptoms from their gallbladder. Those people need to come in. They need to get taken care of. And it's been hard delaying these. We've still been doing our emergency and urgent cases, and people have been taken care of. But we're anxious to get back to this backlog of people that have been patiently waiting to get their procedures done.
Brad, about how many surgeries have had to been put on hold because of this?
Yeah, about 700 to 800 total surgeries have been put on hold since March 23rd. And that's been you know, a big adjustment for, first of all, our patients. All of our patients, you know, prior to March 23rd, were preparing mentally, physically, going in and getting their health and physical done by their primary care physician, working with families to prepare for post-operative, what they're going to need, what they're going to be prepared for, whether there's some rehabilitation involved with it. So having that shut off has been a huge adjustment for our patients. And as Susan and Dr. Claussen talked about, these patients are, yes, they're elective, but they're having these procedures because it's more than likely a quality of life issue for them. So we're very excited to get going on this backlog and to take care of these patients that have been waiting.
So what is the process of
doing all 800 procedures on Monday?
That was going to be my next question. How do you get all these 800 procedures done?
Well, it's going to be a big challenge because not only do we have the normal people that would be coming up for colonoscopies or for joint replacements or for hernia repairs, but now we've got all this backlog of people as well. And so we're trying to just be aggressive about it. We're going to have the operating room as available as it can be. It's going to be make sure we have as much staff as necessary and so on. But, of course, the biggest and most important thing is we want to make sure we do it safely for each and every patient and safely for each and every staff member. And that's going to be the challenge. But I'm just so proud of our crew, what they've done to prepare, and the plans we have, I think, are just solid and well prepared.
How many surgeons do you have at Sanford in northern Minnesota?
So we have, we've got four orthopedic surgeons and another one coming this summer. We have six general surgeons. We have an ENT surgeon. We have a couple of different urology surgeons who are not permanent staff but are here for long term. And we have three ophthalmologists who do surgery, cataracts and things like that, and two podiatrists.
Wow.
I think I covered everybody.
So what are some of the things that have changed, Mark, due to COVID-19 in the surgical suite?
Yeah, so in the surgical suite, of course, you know, we're always doing safe procedures as far as personal protective equipment, that PPE, and things like that. But we do know with the virus that it's spread mostly through the air by droplets. And so for people who are getting general anesthesias, so they're going to sleep and we're putting a breathing tube into their windpipe, those people are at higher risk of spreading things. So our anesthesia department is taking extra personal protective equipment for every person who's going to sleep, and we're being very careful about that. We're also being very careful about certain procedures that are done in the mouth or the throat and things like that, so bronchoscopies or removing tonsils or upper scopes and things like that, because we know that those are at higher risk also. So we're taking extra precautions with those types of procedures.
Brad, I'm assuming that you guys are getting on the phone and talking to patients who've been, you know, waiting.
Yes, we've been very, very busy since the governor's announcement that he was going to allow non-emergent procedures to move forward again. Our entire surgical team's been all hands on deck getting prepared to get rolling again on Monday, as well as our surgeons and our anesthesia team and really our entire facility. This really impacts the entire facility from our clinics in the preoperative world, both in the surgeons and the primary care providers are now very busy getting all these patients ready. Of course, our surgical team and our surgeons. But then post-operatively, some of our inpatient settings are now preparing to take care of these post-surgical patients. And then upon discharge home, our therapy, rehabilitation, and home care folks are preparing to get ready to take care of these patients that we have a large backlog on.
Susan, I'm wondering, some of the things that have been put in place at the clinics, at the hospitals, do you see those as being, they're just here now from here on out?
That's a really, really good question, Kevin. We're talking a lot about what our new normal is and how we continue to provide great care for all of our patients, those that will have COVID-19 and those that don't. So, yeah, we believe that a lot of the things that we have put in place now to keep our patients and our staff safe are going to be with us for the foreseeable future. And, you know, some of those things are we have a separate respiratory clinic now, so patients who have respiratory symptoms, we're directing them to that clinic so that the other clinics are kind of more for patients who don't have those respiratory-type symptoms, although we will see patients at any of our clinics that need to be seen. You know, we are now putting all face masks on everyone that are in any of our facilities. So staff are wearing face masks. Patients, we're asking if they come for a clinic visit, they bring a face mask and wear that as well, so that we're keeping everyone safe. Just like the grocery stores, we've installed plexiglass at many, many different locations. We're doing, you know, more cleaning than ever. You know, should have been already a pretty clean environment, right? We're a hospital and a clinic, and we've even stepped that up further. So many of those things we just think are going to be around for a while. Even the limiting of visitors is something that it's almost eerily quiet around here in the hospital some days, because we were used to the hustle and bustle of lots of visitors, and now visitors are limited. And so all of those things are going to be around for a while. We're taking employee temperatures every day when our staff come in. I just got mine taken a few minutes ago. It was fine. So, and we're screening all of our employees and visitors and staff patients for the symptoms of COVID-19.
Mark, is there anybody, keeping COVID-19 in mind, is there anybody who shouldn't have a surgery, an elective surgery at this time?
Well, that's also a really good question. And obviously anybody who's having symptoms needs to be checked out first. But other than that, one of the things I'd like to emphasize is that now is a pretty safe time to get stuff done. We don't have the virus in the community right now. And so, you know, in the coming months, that's likely to change. So even if you're a fragile person, one of those high-risk people over age 65, other medical problems and so on, now would be a good time to get some of those routine things done. Because right now it's as safe as it's going to be in the coming months. And so right now, no, we're not limiting it based on that kind of thing, unless you're having active symptoms.
Okay. Anybody's opinion on this one, you go out into the stores now and they've got the plexiglass there too and a lot of those things. And I'm thinking, you know, let's say COVID-19 goes away at some point and just for regular cold and flu season, I kind of hope they'll maybe keep those up.
You know, really what we've seen is flu has pretty much disappeared because people staying at home and because of all of the hand washing and all of the other things that people are doing. So I think that's a really great point, because it really is, those measures have really, we're not seeing gastroenteritis right now. We're not seeing influenza. So we've really become pretty healthy in the last few weeks.
Well, one thing that's been clearly demonstrated is that these measures work. And they may not be convenient, and there's, you know, some cost with all of them, but they definitely work.
Well, you know, we got used to long lines in airports, so I imagine we'll get used to other new things that come along like this.
That's right. So, Kev, one of the things I'm a little concerned about is that some of our patients who are scheduling for surgeries are going to find that there is a bit of a longer line in getting them ready for the surgery. So everybody has to have a history and physical within 30 days. That's been a long-standing rule from the government. But now we also are going to be calling them 3 days before the surgery. They're going to get asked all the symptoms questions. Then we're going to call them a day before the surgery, and they're going to get asked all those questions again. Then they're going to come in for the day of the surgery, and they're going to get asked all those questions a third time. And they're going to get pretty sick of answering those questions, but those things are very important. And then people that are getting higher risk procedures done, those ones I was talking about with the upper airway or a general anesthesia, or maybe they're in a living situation where they can't social distance, like in a nursing home or a group home or something like that, those people are all going to get tested for COVID-19 3 to 5 days before their procedure. So that'll be an extra trip in to get that done. I'm happy to announce that there's going to be no charge to the patients for those tests. So either the insurance company will cover it or Sanford will not charge the patient for it. But that's to help protect both the patient and all of our staff. But that'll be an extra step that people will have to go through. And if those tests are positive, of course, or if people are having symptoms, then their case is going to be delayed further. And one of the things that I've asked all the surgeons to really emphasize to their patients is that once they're scheduled for surgery, they should be extra careful about self-quarantine. Because if they go to a birthday party and they're exposed to somebody with COVID-19 and they get asked those questions and answer them honestly, their case is going to be canceled. And, you know, so that's how the spread can happen, and we just so much don't want to let that happen. We've been living in a bubble up here, and it's been a wonderful bubble to live in, and we want to extend that as far as we can.
Okay. Brad, if people are listening to this and they say, and they had an elective surgery scheduled and they say, hey, I can do it, should they call you? Or are you going to call them? What's the best process for this?
Yep. All of our clinics, all of our surgical clinics are working very diligently to go through their lists, and they will be contacting these patients. Now, of course, if they have any questions, they can certainly call us, but we will be initiating those calls as we work through these lists and get them scheduled. And as Dr. Claussen had mentioned, there's going to be a lot of coordination, a lot of visits, a lot of checkups, again, in the interest of safety. But our surgical clinics will be calling them.
Okay. Susan, let's talk a little bit about the COVID-19 preparation now. You noted that things are set up now as you need them to be. So it's been a while since I've talked about this. Maybe you can just talk about what has been set up and what the process is if somebody, now if it's changed, if somebody thinks they might have COVID.
So for our anticipated inpatient volume, we have taken the fourth floor of the medical center and basically turned it into our COVID unit. We haven't had any patients up there yet, obviously, because we haven't had any inpatient positives, but what that means is we have we've actually added some bed space up there. This was our old rehab unit. Not old. It was our existing rehab unit. And we have added in our rehab gym, we have added spaces for patients to be, so with medical gas and all the supplies and equipment that they would need. As well as the existing rehab rooms have been converted to what we call negative pressure or negative airflow, which is necessary for respiratory isolation. So we've added additional beds. We've added changed our bed capacity from 118 up to about 150. And based on what we're looking at with our models, that is adequate for what we're going to need. We've also purchased some additional ventilators and some additional monitors and trained additional staff to be able to take care of these patients when they do come. So that's what we've done on the medical center side. And then I kind of talked a little bit about what we've done on the outpatient side. And we've also, again, just based on the modeling and knowing what we're expecting for a surge, we have procured the PPE that we need. And we have just continued to model and look at what we're going to need and acquire what we are going to need. The supply chains are getting much better now, and so as far as N95 masks, surgical masks, gowns, face shields, things like that, we're in good shape as far as that goes. So if a patient thinks that they have the symptoms of COVID-19, it's still really the same process. We're still asking people to call the number and talk to someone and get screened, and that nurse will place an order for a test, and then we're asking the patients to come to one of our alternate collection sites. So we have one in Bemidji, we have one in Bagley, we have one in Park Rapids, and we have one in Walker. And so we're asking them to come, and that does keep those patients from coming into the clinic. We're collecting the sample, and then we're getting those results now in about 24 to 48 hours. Which has been really good and much quicker than earlier on when we were having to rely on the state because we're running these tests ourselves at Sanford. And then we will contact patients with their results as soon as we get them. If someone is really, really sick, though, obviously instead of just going and getting a test, they need to contact their physician and determine whether they actually need to be seen.
Okay. Kevin, I don't think we can emphasize enough. If people are having symptoms, call first, get tested, and stay home. The more you're around other people, the more chance you have to spread it. And now that we have the test coming back in 24 to 48 hours, if it's negative and you don't have the virus, then you'll be able to get out of the house a little more and all that kind of thing safely. But the main thing is stay home.
Okay. Just a quick question. You've set up the fourth floor, as you noted. If we get through this relatively unscathed, and let's hope that's what happens, do you have the luxury, and other medical centers who have probably set up for this, have the luxury of maintaining that for potential future issues?
Well, that's a good question. So right now, we're licensed for 118 beds, and we have a special waiver from the state and the federal government to be able to increase our number of beds. So most likely, unless things change regulatory-wise, we will go back down to the 118 beds. However, we will have that space available. And with what we've done up there, I think we could, if you know another pandemic hit, then we would probably be in much better shape to be able to activate it more quickly.
All right. Any final thoughts from anybody before we wrap this up today?
Yeah, one other thing I'd like people to know is that part of the governor's mandate for restarting these surgeries was that we have a monitoring process for our elective cases for the future. So once a week, I'm going to be meeting with the surgery department heads as well as some of the administrators, and we are going to be examining how many ICU beds do we have available, how much personal protective equipment do we have on hand, are things changing? And so right now, we don't have anybody in the hospital with the virus, and so we're going to be able to go full tilt with all of our elective cases. But sometime in the future, maybe that won't be true, and we'll have to turn back on our elective cases, you know, 25% or 50%, depending on availability. So I really want people to know that we are going to be monitoring that on a weekly and daily basis to make sure that we're not overstepping our bounds, using a bunch of equipment on elective stuff when there's critical people who need it. We're also going to have to regulate it according to staff. You know, it's very likely that we're going to have some staff who will eventually get ill, and then they won't be available to take care of patients. And so we're going to have to monitor all of that very quickly. But it's important to me and important to all of us that the public know that we're going to be watching that very, very closely.
Brad Nice, Director of Operations, Dr. Mark Claussen, Chief of the Surgery Service Line and a General Surgeon at Sanford, and Susan Jarvis, the President and CEO of Sanford Health of Northern Minnesota. Great conversation today, great information. Thank you all for talking with us and letting us know what's going on.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks for giving us the chance to get the message out.